Today on the podcast, I'm going to be sharing a little bit of a different type of story. It's a story of my journey of health and how it impacted me and impacted my business for the better. So if you want to hear how all this weight loss journey and everything have impacted my business and what I learned, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Focal Points Podcast.
This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, I might be dating myself here, but I have a question to start out this podcast that I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate with. How many of you grew up with a diet-obsessed mother, specifically in the 70s or 80s and 90s, in those generations specifically? You know, those were some of the years of the Thighmaster sweating to the oldies, jazzercise, late-night infomercials telling us how women needed to lose weight. There was the grapefruit diet, the cabbage soup diet, the Elizabeth Taylor diet, and don't forget about the Scarsdale diet, Diet Center, Jenny Craig, all of those things telling us that we just needed to be smaller. It seemed like during those years, there was just no size small enough or no number low enough on the scale for women to even be worthy to exist. And of course we're worthy to exist. You know, we exist for many, many different reasons, and none of them have to do with the size of our physical body. Now, I don't know of any of my friends' moms when I was growing up who didn't have at least one or two Jane Fonda workout tapes next to their TV in the family room. And those were on VHS, of course. So now you might be figuring out, okay, Dori, you're old, and how does this apply to me? But some of you will probably relate to this. Growing up in that culture was pretty toxic for me. I was, genetically predisposed to carry extra weight, had some physical health issues, and it wasn't too long after I hit, you know, the teen years that my mom started growing concern and showing concern for my weight. And add to that, my sister, who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 9, food was a huge, major topic of conversation in my household. It was huge. Everything was measured, everything was monitored, from what we ate, how much we ate, when we ate. There were good foods and there were bad foods, and it was at the forefront of everything. You know, I don't really blame my parents, though. It took me years, decades even, and sometimes I still struggle with it, before I could really unpack the childhood messages that were ingrained in my brain growing up. They were drilled into me over and over and over about how I needed to eat right, how I needed to exercise, how I needed to be lighter. And if I just lost weight, I would be prettier and ultimately more acceptable to the society around me. And I know that so many women understand what that feels like. And they've heard that, oh, if she just could lose weight, she'd be so pretty. I heard it all the time growing up. And as I've worked through it, yes, with counseling and yes, with time and yes, with faith and prayer and all those different things, I've realized it's hard to fight the demons that we're raised with. It's hard to break those patterns of generational trauma. It's hard to look in the mirror every day and realize that if we want to make our lives better, that no one is going to come and make that happen for us. There is no Disney prince coming in on a horse to save us and save the day, right? And it took me a really long time to figure that out. Unusually long, I will say. It seemed that I was always waiting for someone or something to happen that would change my life and propel it in the direction that I wanted to go, almost as if I had no control over my own destiny. And that's the way that I thought. And people will look at my career and say, Dori, you've been so successful and you've impacted so many people and you have such great platforms, would never in a million years know that I struggled with these things. And I often think back and wonder, like, if I'd gotten that under control earlier, what could my life really be looking like now? But I'm not gonna dwell on that too much. I'm where I need to be. But in my quest to avoid doing hard things, which is what I was doing, I was avoiding doing hard things. I was avoiding doing the workouts. I was finding it easier to eat the wrong things. I was ignoring doctors' suggestions and that type of thing. It caused me to be stuck where I was physically, and I was literally feeding into my old habits, which ultimately became fear of change. I was fearful of changing. It wasn't so much about doing something that was hard, because I know how to do hard things. But I'm like, okay, I know what this looks like here, so I can be safe here. I may not necessarily like it, but I can be comfortable here because it's familiar. And if you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, when I guest on podcasts, I talk about this exact thing, that we stay comfortable because it's familiar. Now, it may not be right. It may not be the right place for us to be, but we find comfort in the fact that it's known. But stepping out into the unknown is what is fearful. And I was struggling with that when it came to the habits around my body, right? My body was the living sacrifice of holding on to this old fear and onto these old habits. And, you know, it got to a realization where I could stay the way I was, and it would be hard living in that place, but it would be comfortable. It would be known. I would remain incredibly out of shape. I would be waiting for someone to come to my rescue. I would be let my weight influence even the most mundane decisions in my personal life, from where I sat in a restaurant or where I shopped for clothes. Or I could make the changes that I needed to make, but it would be hard. So either way, it was going to be hard. However, the second option had a much more attractive outcome for me when I finally got to that realization. So we all know where we were March 2020 when COVID hit in the US, right? We're all familiar with that. For me, I was sitting at my mom's bedside listening to her take her last breaths after a 12-year-long battle with cancer. I've made that very public. That's not a secret. She passed away on the 11th of March, and our entire community at that point in time all shut down on the 12th. So no matter where you were in the U.S. at that point in time, we all remember when the schools closed, when all of a sudden masking, social distancing became a thing. It was a term we hadn't even learned before, right? But probably around March 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th is when that happened in your community. So at that time, when someone passed away, there was no funeral right away. There were no people coming over. There was no one bringing meals. It was just over. The night she passed, we were still able to go out to restaurants. So my sister, my dad, and I, we went to a restaurant. We went and picked up my daughter from cheer practice. We hadn't told her yet. I didn't want to completely ruin her day. We went and picked her up. My dad watched her practice for a little bit, which made him happy. Then we all went our separate ways. And that was really the last time we saw each other for several weeks. But we were all dealing with this grief, right? So that was that, beginning of March 2020. And after we processed grief and the world had opened up a tiny bit where we could at least see each other a little bit with masks and so forth, my sister was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Talk about a shock to the system. We were all still weary from my mom passing, and it felt like we were really starting this grief cycle all over again. But for me especially, my sister's diagnosis, being the second woman in my family to be diagnosed with cancer, it really was a slap in the face that I needed to get myself together. So I went to the doctor. I told him to check me out head to toe, you know, everything. Do every test to make sure that I was okay. And thankfully, for the most part, I absolutely was okay. But because of my weight and the grief and everything that I'd been through, I was on antidepressants. I had high blood pressure. And I had undiagnosed sleep apnea. I couldn't go up one flight of stairs without getting winded. And it was at the point where I could barely fit in an airline seat at all, never mind comfortably. And before the pandemic, I traveled a lot, teaching a lot all over the country, led an education company, and all of this stuff was happening behind the scenes. And I didn't really share it with anyone, but I knew that something needed to change, and I needed to change it soon. So what did I do? I finally decided to take control of my life and my health, because it wasn't so much about how I looked. It was more about being healthy and being able to be here for the long haul when it came to caring for my daughter, being here for my husband and for my family, and being able to do the things that I wanted to do without becoming terminally ill, which I was headed in that direction. Absolutely. So I started eating better, and after losing a few pounds, I started looking better. I started feeling really good about myself. And my husband's company, we go on these, they have an annual meeting party, and then we go to different parts of the country. And that particular year was in Las Vegas. And in Vegas, if you've been there, especially for WPBI, you know you walk a lot. Doesn't matter how many trams they have, those electronic walkways, all those types of things, you walk a lot in Vegas. And so we went there for the weekend, and I noticed on my phone it was acting as a pedometer. It was counting my steps. And I had never even known that feature was there on my iPhone. And I realized, you know, I was walking a lot and I was doing okay. So when I came home, that was like the instance that started it all of me exercising and going on this journey, which eventually, you know, 3 weeks ago ended up with me successfully doing 500 workouts, documented workouts. So after Vegas, I came home and I'm like, I want to keep walking. And that's how it started. So after I started walking, I realized at that point in time, I wasn't going to be comfortable doing high impact things. I wasn't going to be comfortable running or anything else, but I could walk. And so over the next 525 days, I walked on an average of at least 4 miles a day. I added in rowing, biking, elliptical workouts, weightlifting into the routine. And before I knew it, a year and a half later or so, I had completed 500 workouts in 525 days. And how do I know that I completed 500 workouts? Well, I'll get to that in a minute because it's all about measuring your stats, which is one thing I really was really good about and have been really good about since the beginning of this journey. So what were the results of me going on this process of these 500 days, right? Well, the changes to my body were huge. I looked more like I wanted to look. I slept better. I didn't have high blood pressure anymore. My feet didn't hurt. My skin was clearer. My whole presence just had more energy. And I kind of feel like I got that twinkle back in my eye that I felt I had lost. And the changes weren't all physical. I learned so much about my business and my clients in this transformation. Number one, I learned that I could do hard things, that it's okay when things don't work out perfectly, and that I could make goals and stick to them because I am a chronic goal breaker. I put lofty goals up and I get about halfway there and I'm like, no, I'm good enough, not going to do this. But I could make goals and I could stick to them, and it started with the workouts. So how did I track all this? How did I keep track of everything and know that I was at 500 days and I was getting my steps in and all that type of thing? I firmly believe that technology is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I started using my Apple Fitness app on my phone. Easy enough, right? So what that does is that tracks three things, and you've probably heard those irritating people, and I am one of them that says, oh, I need to close my rings. Well, those rings track my heart rate throughout the day, so how many calories I burn, how many times I stand up over the course of the day, and how long I have an elevated heart rate. So it's like how long I work out during the day. So my goals are 650 movement calories, standing up at least 10 times during the course of the day, and working out for at least 45 minutes every single day. Every single day. Now, when I was in the deep depths of wanting to lose weight at the beginning of this journey, I actually had those stats and goals higher. It was 80 minutes of workout time a day. It was 900 calories a day and that type of thing. But I've settled on 45 minutes of exercise a day, 650 calories, I think it is, and standing up 10 times a day. Those are my stats. I'm not saying that people are going to have the results if they achieve those stats, but that's what I used on my Apple Fitness watch. And then through our health insurance company, I found out, oh, we can get a subscription to Apple Fitness Plus. And what Apple Fitness Plus is they are like the workouts, kind of like Peloton. It's just Apple's version of Peloton, but they don't have the special bikes or anything. So you can do a treadmill workout, you can do a weightlifting workout, all those different things with coaches. And I really became addicted to the treadmill workouts with the Apple Fitness Plus, and I would do those faithfully. I'm even running a little bit, which is a miracle. I never, never, never in a million years did I think I would be one of these people that if I didn't work out during the day, that I would find myself walking around the block at 9 o'clock at night, watching the bats fly overhead because I needed to get my steps in. I needed to get my blood moving. So learning how to track things, learning how I can achieve those goals had great results on my business, because knowing that I can track my health stats led me to believe that, oh, well, I should really be tracking things like inquiry hits, likes on social media, DMs on social media, all those different things, and realizing that where I was putting my energy was getting certain traction in certain areas, causing me to spend certain amount of times doing certain things, and ultimately were the things that I decided to spend time on and focus on, were they making a difference in my bank account? What you focus on grows. And I've done podcasts on this before, specifically at the beginning of the year, of tracking certain KPIs, key performance indicators, and those key performance indicators are just ways that you know something's working, something's not working. And the money in the bank isn't always the ideal way of knowing something's successful, but it's a way you can measure things. So you can measure things a lot of different ways. And if you're interested in how I did that for my business, specifically to my KPIs, you can listen to that podcast. But I learned so much in this journey of these workouts. I learned how I didn't want to have a really structured daily schedule. I didn't want to every single day wake up at 6, do an hour workout, take my shower, get ready for the day, then do this, and then do this, and then do this, and have it very, very predictable. I'm not good at that. I wasn't good at corporate life. I got fired from corporate life about 20 years ago, and I never looked back because I didn't like that kind of structure. I like a more fluid idea of being able to plan my day. I do plan my day, and I plan my day about my workouts, my family time, face-to-face time with clients, and then everything else kind of fits into that. But working out every day or doing something intentional in your business, it doesn't happen by accident. I had to plan certain things and schedule them so I knew that they would get done. One thing I plan now in my business is recording this podcast, because if I don't put it in the calendar, it won't get done. Something else will creep in and I can put it off and procrastinate and all those different things. But we can't do that anymore because we have to get these things done. And I am a more creative, free spirit that struggles with some of those things. And other people thrive on the rigidity of a schedule. That just wasn't me. So I learned as a part of my workouts that I could commit to doing things every single day and get them done, but it was okay if I didn't do them the same time every day. So sometimes I work out in the morning, sometimes work out at night, sometimes I work out in the middle of the day. It just depends where it fits in. And I like not having that set in stone. So having that flexibility was one thing that I came to terms with throughout this process and also realized it was okay. I'm sure if you're on YouTube and you search these videos and you read certain books, you've probably seen people like how to start your day and your morning routines and all those things. I'm perfectly fine not having a strict morning routine, waking up at a specific time every day, doing the same tasks in the same way over all of that. Some people thrive on that. That's just not me. And more creatives that I speak with about this, they're the same way. They're like, that just doesn't fit right with me. You know what? It's okay. It truly is okay. Embrace the fact that you can get things done and you can be a little bit more fluid about it. So the second thing that I really learned about my business specifically when it came to these workouts or about myself in general is the fact that motivation and being motivated, how do I say this gently? It's a load of crap. You don't need to be motivated to do something. You don't need motivation coming from an external source to get you to act in a certain way. The bottom line is it, if you want to, you will. If you want to, you will. If you want to grow your business, you will act in ways that will help grow your business. If you want to lose weight, you will act in ways that will help you lose weight. Motivation to me, I don't need to be motivated. I've made a choice to live my life a certain way. That choice is what prompts my actions. My actions are what prompt my results. But it isn't about being motivated from an outside source. It's because this is what I need to do to be able to live my life in the most effective way possible that makes me happy and makes the people around me happy. So being motivated, I don't have to be motivated. I just have to get certain things done. And I think if you look to external sources to be motivated or to prompt you into action, that is where we run into problems. I deal with so many coaching clients who I know they're looking for external sources to prompt them into action. When the real realization comes from the fact that nothing externally can get you to act, but it all boils down to, you see on TikTok and different dating sites of, men in relationships, if he wanted to, he would. And that really comes down to humankind. If you want to, you will. If I want to, I will. If I don't want to, even if I can't figure out why I don't want to do it, I will procrastinate and I will not get it done. No matter what it, using air quotes there, no matter what it is. So I'm going to pause for a minute before I continue and let you know what you really need to do, and hopefully I will encourage you to, is head over to Endphoto and take a look and take advantage of their album sample offer, because it's the best in the business. So listen to that option now with Endphoto.
Are you tired of generic photo albums that don't do your beautiful images justice? Look no further than Endphoto's range of handcrafted albums made with the finest materials. These albums are a perfect way to showcase your beautiful photos that truly captures how gorgeous they actually are. And the best part is that as a listener of the Focal Points podcast, you can get a 75% discount off your sample album by signing up for an account using the link in our show notes. Visit Focal Points Podcast today. Go to that link, sign up for an account, and start showing off your work in a beautiful, beautiful way.
So besides realizing that motivation was external and I really needed to get that from, you know, from myself, and I couldn't rely on that from anybody else, I think the other biggest thing I realized was that I needed to be more patient and offer myself more grace with things. It didn't have to be a hardcore running workout every day. It could be some light weightlifting and some yoga. It could be a walk in the park with my family. It could be anything that I need to do just to move my body. It didn't have to be so hardcore every single day. A lot of people, that's why they burn out, is because they're pushing themselves too hard. So being able to take grace with yourself and realize, hey, I kind of need to just relax today. I don't want to talk to clients today. And putting that on my calendar back to being scheduled is that I don't plan anything on Mondays and I usually don't plan anything on Fridays. Those are my prep days. Those are my regroup days. Those are kind of the days that I have to get everything done. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are my hardcore push days where I work really hard to get everything done within those 3 days. I designed that schedule for myself because that's what works for me. But I had to plan in the slower times so that I can really prep and ramp up for the faster times, if that makes sense. So having grace for myself was really, really important. So what did I learn in this journey of 500 workouts? I learned that, first of all, taking better care of myself makes me feel good and I want to do that, right? Secondly, I learned that if I tracked things, either in my business or with my personal health, that it made progress. Everything I tracked made progress because I was strategically thinking about how to make those stats better. I learned the motivation was truly not the way that I wanted to look at things. I got tired and I stopped looking at external elements to motivate me and to prompt me into action. I learned that really needs to come from myself. And I can't rely on anybody else to motivate me into anything. It really is, especially as a solopreneur who owns my own business where I make all the decisions, I have to be motivated for myself. If you're working with other people and they're putting timelines on you, it's a little bit different. But in a solopreneur type situation where you're making the rules, you have to be your biggest advocate to choose to move your business forward. And it's a choice of action. And once you make that choice and you feel it deep in your soul, there's nothing else that you can do than to move forward and make it happen. And the last thing that I learned was that with this getting my blood pumping every day and exercising every day, I became much more chill. Like, really, I'm so much more chill than I used to be. Now, I have energy, a lot of energy. In fact, we were at church the other day and they offer coffee and I just wanted some tea. And I came over, I said, can I just have some hot water for tea? And he said, oh, you don't need your caffeine kick this morning? And I just looked over, I said, no, I said, all this energy is natural. Like, I don't need the caffeine. That's not what I go for. But even though I still have lots of energy to get things done, I'm much more chill about when things go wrong, in handling my stress and all of that, in dealing with other people, offering them more grace in their situation, understanding different perspectives because we're all going through stuff. And I fully credit that to the fact that when I'm going on my walks or I'm working out, my brain just has time to think through things. So I feel like my thought process is much clearer because I'm giving my brain time to think. And I've talked about this in the podcast before too, how important that free time is. We cannot be forcing our brains to just completely be engrossed and firing on all cylinders all the time. Our brain needs space as well. So 500 workouts was a big, big, big milestone for me. The next milestone I have on the Apple Watch, which is how I kind of measure these things, right? Because I'm a groupie when it comes to that, is 1,000 workouts. That's another year and a half. So if this podcast is still going, I cannot wait to come back and share with you the next spot and development of what I'm going to learn in 1,000 workouts. But for today, I'm pretty happy with that number of 500, and I cannot wait to see what happens next. If you have had some sort of revelation when it comes to your health and your business, I would love to hear about it. I know that since I've lost weight, let's just be transparent about this fact, sessions are easier. Lugging my gear around on to locations is easier. Carrying it up and down stairs, dealing with different clients when I have to run around. If I have a long headshot day at a company, I'm still ready to go at 4 o'clock. My energy is so much better. So I would love to know if any of you have had any of these revelations and any of these aha moments of like, oh, yeah, I can do that now. And I haven't been able to do that. And that's because I decided to ride my bike or I decided to go to yoga 3 times a week or whatever you're choosing to do in your fitness journey. Being a healthy, well-balanced entrepreneur is only going to help your business grow. I firmly, firmly believe that. And if you've experienced that, I would love to talk to you. Hit me up on Instagram at TheDoriHowell. And in the meantime, check out our sponsor, Enphoto. They're so wonderful to us, and we are so appreciative of that relationship. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the Focal Points podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.